We're on Daf Hey Amid Beis, and we're up to Amar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. So this you'll find approximately 10 lines down from the top of the page. The first word in the line is Omer, and the Gemara is darshaning the Parsha of Miluin. And you may recall that we discussed that Miluim comes under two different parshios. The Tzava, the command of Miluim, is in Parshas Tetzaveh, towards the end of Sefer Shmos. And the Asiya, the implementation of that Tzava, of that Tzivui, is in Parshas Tzav, in Sefer Vayikra. So we'll be able to use, hopefully, a Chumash, and it'll help us go through the Pesukim. Amar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. Rav Yossi notices a certain kind of discrepancy here, or something that's missing from the parsha. The parsha of Miluim enumerates all the begadim that Moshe Rabbeinu was malbish Aaron ubana bigdei kohuna for Aaron, bigdei kohen gadol for his sons, the regular begadim for regular kohanim. And yet one of the begadim was omitted from the parasha. Michnasayim ein ksuvim beparasha. So if we open up to Parshas Miluim, we will not find Michnasayim. And what that means is that the Torah goes into great detail to enumerate all the begadim that Moshe Rabbeinu was malbish Aaron ubanav. All the big day kahuna. Not only does the Torah delineate that which Moshe was commanded to do, but it also enumerates that which Moshe actually did, and he implemented that tzivui. All the begadim are mentioned, with one exception, and that's Michnasayim. So you know what? I think what we would like to do now, with your rishus, is to open up the Chumash. If you have access to a Chumash, we'll start by reading the Psukim in Parshas Tetzaveh. And if you don't have a Chumash, you'll listen carefully and you'll catch what I want to mention, what's in the Pasuk, but what's actually omitted from the Pasuk. So we're in Perek Chavtes of Sefer Shmos, Parsha Tetzaveh. We're going to start from Pasuk Hei. And this is the Parsha of what's called Tzava. Moshe is commanded, V'lakata sabgadim, take the clothes, the various garments of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjud, and Vilbashta, and place it on Aaron, and listen to the list that the Torah enumerates. It says, Ketones, Me'il, Ephod, and then it says Choshen. Then it says V'samta mitznefes al rosho, V'esbonov, so that's for Aaron HaKohen. And as far as the children of Aaron HaKohen are concerned, so again, when we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, then we're talking about an additional four begadim, which is Choshen, Ephod, Me'il, and Tzitz. When we're talking about what's common to both a Kohen Hedjot, meaning Bonav, and the Kohen Gadol, then it says Avnet, and then it says Mikbas, and no mention of Michnasayim. So we have Ketones, Me'il, Ephod, we have Choshen, we have Mitznefes, we have Kutanos, as we said before, no mention of Michnasayim. So that's in Parshas Tetzaveh. That's the Parsha of Tzavah, of the command. Now we fast forward to Parshas Tzav in Sefer Vayikra, and this is the parasha we call the Asiya, the implementation. We're in Perek Ches, Pasuk Zayin, And it says, Vayitein olav es hakutones, vayachgar oso bavnet, vayalbesh oso sami'il, vayitein olav es ha'efod, and the choshen is placed into the ephod. And then, mitznefes ha'rosho, and that's what we have. No mention of Michnasayim. The Tzitz is mentioned, the Ketones is mentioned, the Avnet, the Migbos, but neither in Tetzaveh nor in Tzav do we find any mention of Michnasayim. So let's put the Chumash on the side for a moment. The Gemara says, Kshu Omer, in the parsha of Tetzaveh, that's the Tzavah, in Sefer Shmos, it says, V'zeh ha'davar asher ta'aseh lahem, l'kadesh osam l'chahen li. And Rabbi Yossi darshins the extra vav of the word v'zeh, v'zeh ha'davar. Now, we have a principle, which is called Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon, that whenever the Torah begins a parasha with a Vav, the Vav is telling me to link up this parasha with that which came before it. So let's try to remember that principle. Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon. Now, if we turn back a little bit, to see what comes before Shmos Chavtes, then we'll find a mention of Michnasayim. And this parasha of the Miluim, which opens with the word Vizeh, with the Vav of Vizeh, is telling me to go back to the previous parasha, when Hashem commands the creation of the Bigdei Kuhuna, the manufacturing of the Bigdei Kuhuna. And there, the Torah says, Shmos Chavches, Vaseh lahem michnesei bad, lechasos basar erva, etc., etc. Vayu al aron valbona beboim el ol moed, o begishtav el mizbeach l'shar yisbakodesh. So the Torah specifies here, in the midst of creating Bigdei Kuhuna, the Michnasayim. Asei lahem michnasei bat. So now that we open up the next perek, the next sugya, which is Parshas Yemei Miluim with a Vav, lahavi asa michnasayim. The Vav is telling me to add the Michnasayim that's enumerated in the previous Parsha and plug it into this Parsha. To teach us that not only are the begadim that are mentioned explicitly in the Parsha Miluim part of the process of Moshe being Malbish, the Kohen and the Kohen and the Kohanim of, with their begadim, but also the Michnasayim that's not mentioned is intimated by this extra Vav of Vizeh Dover. Now, I'm not exactly sure when the Vav teaches me Michnasayim, is it teaching me that Aaron and his children, meaning the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedget, they have to wear Michnasayim amongst their begadim? Or is it teaching us that Moshe Rabbeinu has to be Malbish, the Bigdei Kuhuna, in addition to the regular Bigdei Kuhuna that are mentioned explicitly in the Parsha, he has to be Malbish even Michnasayim? That's not clear to me. Fine. So this is, just to summarize, a drasha of Rabbi Yossi Vav Mosav Elyon in Rishon to teach me that even though Michnasayim on the list of Bigdei Kuhuna is omitted in Parshas Miluim in Perek Chavtes, but the Vav of Vizeh actually activates the principle of Vav Mosvel in Yerishon, linking Perek Chavtes with Perek Chavches, where the Torah explicitly mentions Mechnasayim and the command to create the Mechnasayim for the Kohen. Now, Rabbi Yossi adds one extra point, and he says, Vasiris Ha'efa. What's he referring to here? In the case of what's called Chinuch, there's something called a Minchas Chinuch. A Minchas Chinuch, otherwise known as Vasiris Ha'efa, is a certain type with a certain volume of a mincha, and the purpose of that mincha is to, if I could use this phrase, break in the kohen, meaning this is the first time that the kohen is sanctified for the avodah, and he brings this carbon mincha. It's called Asiris Ha'efa, otherwise known as Minchas Chinuch. So Aaron Abonav, during the Imam Miluim, were required to bring a Minchas Chinuch, which is Asiris Ha'efa, and that's derived from this same Vav, of Vav Mosif Alinyan Rishon. So I'll read to you a note here. He writes in the note, Ein HaKohen Ove Tchila V'chein Kohen Godolena Ove Tchila. Now, it's the first time that a Kohen does his Avodah in the Mikdash, or a Kohen Godol for that matter. Achi Yavi, he has to bring to the Beis HaMikdash Asiris HaEfa Mishalo. He's got to buy it with his own money. The Ove Biyado, and he does the Avodah of this karma michas chinuch, shenemar, and this is derived from Vayikra Vav. So once again, we may want to open up the Chumash. It says there, Zeh korban Aaron upanova sheyakriv l'Hashem biyom himashach oso, on the very day that Aaron and his sons were anointed to serve as kohanim, they brought the Asiris Ha'efa. Now, if they did the Avodah before they brought the Asiris Ha'efa, or a Kohen Gadol who does the Avodah of a Kohen Gadol before he brought the Asiris Ha'efa, the Rambam paskins that Avodah Sukshera, that B'dieved, it doesn't undermine the validity of the Avodah. The Karbon is kosher. But nevertheless, the obligation of bringing this Minchas Chinuch, this Asir Sefer, was not fulfilled. Now, I'm not sure, did Aaron bring this Mincha once? Or was he required to bring it every single day of the Yimei HaMiluim? As far as the other Kohanim is concerned, the Bnei Aaron, certainly once is sufficient. All they have to do is bring the Asir Sefer one time during the course of the 7 days of Miluim. In the case of Aaron as the Kohen Gadol, it's not clear, and apparently the Achronim have a discussion about this, whether Aaron had to bring the Asir Seifa every day, daily, during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, or like the other Kohanim, it was enough if he brought the Asir Seifa once during the entire course of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. Now, there's another mincha which a Kohen Gadol brings. It's also made up of an Asir Seifa. It's called a Minchas Chavitin. So that's going to be a subject for later on, not for now. But it would seem that during the Yimei HaMiluim, Aaron would have to bring not only a Minchas Chinuch Karbon, but also a Minchas Chavitin Karbon. So we'll keep that in mind as we go along. Now the Gemara asks the following question: Bishleim miknasayim. I understand how the vav at the beginning of Parshas Miluim, according to Rabbi Yossi, teaches me miknasayim. Why? Because ksivi binyani de begadim. We have a whole parsha in Shmos Chaf Ches that commands us to create the begadim, to manufacture the big day kahuna, and on the list is miknasayim. So the vav in Perek Chaf Tes is going to link me back to the previous parka. Ella asiris eifa minole. Where do you see that Aaron Ubanov have to bring during the Me'am Miluim a mincha of asiris eifa? What's that based on? You're not going to tell me that the vav is most of Halinyan Rishon, because if we go back to the previous inyan, meaning to Perek Chaf Ches, we will not find a word about the Asiris Eifa. No mention in the Torah of Asiris Eifa until we get to Vayikra Vav. And that's not Vav Mosvel in Yerisha. Vav Mosvel in Yerisha means you have a what we call contiguity between two parshios. Two parshios are contiguous one to the other, so you derive from the first parsha to the second, or from the second, you draw conclusions based on the first previous parsha. But we don't see any mention of Asiris Eifa in the previous parsha. So the Gemara answers Asya Ze Ze. Here in the parsha Miluim, as we saw before, it says Veze Hadavar Shartas Alehem Lekadish Osam Lechayin Li. So the word Ze appears. Now, if we take a look at the parsha of Mincha Aschinuch Shel Kohen in Vayikra Perek Vav, it starts by saying, "V'zeh Korban Aaron Ubanov Asher Yakrivu Hashem B'Yom Yimashach Oso Asiris Ha'Efa Solus Mincha," etc. So again, the word "zeh" appears. So just like in the second pasuk, the "zeh" tells you that the Kohen has to bring an Asiris Ha'Efa. So too in the first Vizeh, referring back to the Yemei Miluim, where it says Zeh, we also require that the Kohen bring Asir Seif. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Minayin Sha'af Mikra Parsha Ma'akev. How do we know that reading the Parsha of the Miluim, which was read by Moshe in front of all of Klal Yisrael, is absolutely critical in the mitzvah of Miluim? In other words, if we're talking about bringing karbonos, if we're talking about preparing the Kohen for his new role, then after the Mishkan is built, they will implement the Avodah, that I understand. That's critical. But just reading the Parsha, maybe that's a mitzvah Talmud Torah, but it's not an integral part of the Avodah. So Rabbi Yochanan raises the question, how do we know that Kriyas HaParsha is part of the mitzvah, it's an integral part of the mitzvah of Parshas Miluim, of the mitzvah Miluim? Talmud Lomar, because again, we're now in Parshas Tzav, in Vayikra Perek Ches, and it says, Vayomer Moshe La'eda, Ze HaDavar Asher Tziv Hashem Lasos. And we're going to darshan that phrase, Ze HaDavar, and the word davar is going to be read as dibur, which means the reciting, the recitation of the parsha to Klal Yisrael, is ma'akev. It is absolutely critical in Miluim. That means that if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have presented to Klal Yisrael the Torah of Miluim, meaning all the details and the verses of the Miluim, had that not been passed on and transmitted to Klal Yisrael, the mitzvah of Miluim would not have been fulfilled. Even if all the other details were fulfilled to the iota, every T was crossed, every I was dotted, but nevertheless, if he didn't read that parasha out loud, then the mitzvah of Miluim would not have been fulfilled. Now, keep in mind, the first day of Miluim was on the 23rd of Adar, and on that very day, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers together, assembles the entire assembly of Klal Yisrael, Pesach Ol Moed, and then he presents to them all the laws of Yemei Milun. And that's what it says in the Pasuk, Vayikra Ches, Vatakel Haida El Pesach Ol Moed, Vayomer Moshe La'eda Zedor Vashatziv Hashem Lasos. Now, what I'd like to learn with you now is a piece of Torah from the Gvuras Ari. The Gvuras Ari is one of the outstanding commentaries on Masechta Yoma. And he wants to connect this sugya that we're learning with a sugya in Masechta Sota. In Masechta Sota, the Gemara is talking about chalitza. You know, the chalitza, in the case of a woman who falls for Yibum, if he refuses, the live brother, the surviving brother, refuses to be Miyabim, his sister-in-law, then he gives a chalitza. And part of chalitza is he has to read a parsha. And it's machlokas in the Tanoim, actually, in Sota, Lamed Gimel, whether or not we derive from the word kacha, which it appears in the parsha of chalitza, that kriya is le'ikuva, meaning it's absolutely critical. And the Gvuras Ari wants to know if there's any relationship between that machlokes as to whether kriya is critical and the statement here of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He says the following. Masha mikra parsha ma'akev ha'reza mishum shel adas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai kol ha'kosu b'milu ma'akev b'hem. In other words, we derived, if you recall, that's what we discussed a week ago, from the Pasuk Kacha, that anything written in the Parsha Miluim is ma'akev. It's critical. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai maintains that position, that anything written in the Parsha Miluim is absolutely critical. If that be the case, then when we study the Machlokas in Sota about reading the Parsha of Chalitza, and whether kriya there is likuva or not, so that machlokes revolves around kriya as opposed to maisa. In other words, when the Torah tells you to do a certain action, which is the action of chalitza, then kriya is not a maisa. It's not on the same level. It's not upgraded to a critical level, unless you derive it from a special pasuk kacha, that it's Likuva, which is one opinion in Masechta Sota. He says that just like there's a machlokas in Masechta Sota, when a kacha will teach me something which is only a kriya and not a maisa, and according to one opinion, if it's not a maisa, it's only kriya, it's only reciting psukim, then it's not Likuva, despite the fact that it says kacha, then that mandiyomer, that Tana, would disagree with Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he would hold that just in the same way here in the Parsha of Miluim, the word kacha would not teach me that kriya is likuva. And therefore, says the Gvuras Ari, Acholkim Shon Bechalitza, Cholkim Gam Kan B'miluim. So that, according to that man Diomar, in Masechta Sotu, says that despite the word Kocha, Kriya is not the same as Maisa, and it's a nice embellishment, but it's not critical. So too, he would say that Moshe's reciting all the details and transmitting the Torah of Parshas Miluim is not critical. And he would disagree with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai here in our Gemara. That's the Chiddush of the Gvuras Ari. And he wants to answer a basic question. You remember that last week we discussed the Gemara on Daf Hayom and Aleph, which was searching for a nafgemina to the two mandiomrim that argue whether kol hakosuv b'miluim ma'akiv b'hem, or only that which is Ma'akiv L'Doros, for all generations, for all time is Ma'akiv? Why didn't the Gemara mention the Kriyas HaParsha? And it could be, says the Gevuras Ari, the reason why the Gemara didn't mention it, because the Gemara didn't want to get into a machlokes as to whether or not we should equate Kriya with Maisa. So it could be that anything that's written in Parsha of Miluim, according to one man, the other is Ma'akev, that's Reb Shimon bar Yochai, because it's a Maisa. Reb Shimon bar Yochai might jack it up and say that Kocha teaches me even a Kriya, even though it's not a Maisa. But the Gemara is not going to list that as one of the Nafkaminas, because it really depends on whether or not you can upgrade and expand the scope of Kol HaKosav Ma'akevim to even include a Kriya which doesn't have a Maisa. So Gemara didn't want to get into that whole, you know, shake the boat on that whole issue. The Gemara says that now that we know that Moshe was Malbish Aaron Ubana Bigdei Kuhuna during the days of Miluim, Ketzad Hilbishan, which literally means, how is he Malbish, Moshe Rabbeinu, how is he Malbish, how did he dress up Aaron Ubana? What was exactly the Seder? So the Gemara doesn't understand. What kind of question is that? Ketzad Hilbishan, Mai Dahava Hava. Rabosa, are you familiar with that phrase, Mai Dahava Hava? If not, if you're learning it for the first time, learn it well, because it appears all over Shas. Mai Dahava Hava, whatever was, was. Meaning, why are you asking me a question about Moshe Rabbeinu, which is only relevant to the exact historical chronological sequence of events at that moment in time during the Yimei HaMiluim? It has no halachic bearing. We don't, the Talmud is not interested in theoretical actions and stories and histories. The Talmud is meant to develop the halacha. So the Gemara tries to answer what the question was, Ketzad Elbishan, Ela Ketzad Malbishan Liyasid Lava. What's going to be after Trias HaMesim and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt? The Kohanim are going to come back to do the Avodah. And now again, we're going to need a preparation for the Avodah of the Kohanim during the Bayis Shlishi, the new Beis HaMikdash. And what is the sequence of Halboshas HaBegadim? And the Ramban says that after Trias HaMesim, we need a new Kiddush, a new sanctification. The original Kiddush completely terminates with death, and now we need a new miluim in order to prepare the Kohanim and sanctify them for the Avodah in the third Beis HaMikdash. So what's going to be the sequence of Halboshas HaKohen Ubanov by Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara says, Moshe Mohem. I don't get it. Liyasid Lovanami. L'kshayavo Aaron Ubanov, Moshe Mohem. The Trias HaMesim will include not just Aaron Ubanov, but it'll also include Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be there at the time of Trias HaMesim, and he's going to teach us exactly how to be Malbish Bigdei Kuhuna. So you don't know what Moshe Rabbeinu did at the time of Yimei HaMiluim, and you want to figure that out. Well, you know what? Be patient. And we'll find out when Moshe comes back after Trias HaMesim, the resurrection, and he will instruct, based on, of course, communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exactly what should be the sequence and how to do the Halbosha. So once again, the Gemara is still stuck. I don't understand your question. Why did you ask Ketzad Hilbishan? If you want to know about Liyasid Lavo, then Moshe Rabbeinu will be there and he'll be able to instruct us. Now, you see there's a little tosis here, Dibra Maskel Mai, towards the bottom of Hayomid Beis. He's not so happy about the Gemara's question, Mai Dahava Hava. Because in truth, very often, the Gemara does discuss things that aren't Nogel Alocha and tries to understand what happened in the past. So in the footnote here, because Tosus comes up with no answer, he quotes the Tashbetz. I actually have a copy of the Tashbetz. I have the first edition. I'm looking at it right now. It's a beautiful beautiful sefer. And he says there are certain dinim that are relevant lahalacha. There are certain dinim that are not negeh lahalacha lamaisa. And the Gemara will discuss and address both of these categories. But why is the Gemara amazed over here at the question that you're asking about Ketzad El Bishon? Because here, it doesn't have any halachic significance, even if it's not Nogen now, Lamaisa, but if it's halacha, we have to understand the halacha. Here, it's not halacha at all. It's just what he calls a Sipra Dvarim. You know, you want to know the story exactly how Moshe Rabbeinu, in what order, was he Malbish Aaron Uponov. Okay, that's a story. That's a Sipra Dvarim. The Gemara doesn't know why we have to know anything about that. So what does Gemara answer? Ketzad Hilbishon L'mizbe Kroy. We have a contradiction in the Psukim with regard to the way Moshe Rabbeinu was Malbish Aaron Ubanov. There are two Psukim that contradict each other. And it's our obligation to reconcile that contradiction. And this contradiction comes to the fore with regard to the Avnet. And we're going to see as we go along that there's a contradiction in the Psukim regarding the Avnet. So again, it's not Halacha L'maisa, but we have to understand the Psukim. So we're not justified to ask a question about Sipur HaMaisa, as the Tashbetz calls it, but we are justified in asking a question about the Psukim. How do we understand the verses in the Torah? The Torah was given to us to understand, Lilmod, and we have to understand. And based on this contradiction in the Psukim, with regard to the Avnet, we have Pligi Ba B'nei Rabbi Chiya of Rabbi Yochanan. Chadam, according to one opinion, Aaron, the Achar Kach Bonov. First, based on the sequence of Psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu was Malbish Aaron, and then later he was Malbish in order, in sequential order, the sons of Aaron. V'chadam, according to another opinion, Aaron Ubonov B'vasachas. He was Malbish both Aaron and Bonov simultaneously. Again, the Gemara is going to ask, how could you do such a thing? How is it possible physically? But that we'll get to later on. So Amar Abai explains, Biksones umitznefes kuliamalo pligi di Aaron v'achakach Bonov. There was no machlokus between the B'nai Rabbi Chi and Rabbi Yochanan with regard to the sequence of the Ksones and the Mitznefes. Everybody agrees that Moshe Rabbeinu was first Malbish Aaron, and then afterwards he was Malbish B'nei Aaron. Why? Because Bein B'tzava u'Bein Basira Aaron Kodim. Whether or not it's the Psukim in Parshas Tetzaveh, which is in Sefer Shmos, and there Moshe Rabbeinu is given the command to be Malbish the Kohanim in the Big Day Kuhuna, and Bein Basia, or, for example, in Parshas Tzav, when the Torah records the implementation of the Tzivui, the Torah is very consistent. Aaron is mentioned first, and then Bonov is mentioned second. So once again, what we're going to do is, we're going to go back for a minute to the Psukim, and we're going to notice the sequence. In the Tzivui, in Parshas Tetzaveh, okay, we'll look inside again and see if we can find this. The Torah says, Vilakachtas habagadim, God is mandating to Moshe to take the one, Vilbashtas Aaron is first, And then a few psukim later in Pasuk Ches it says V'es Bonov V'Hilbashtam. And on the list here is the Ksones, which is mentioned in Pasuk Hey, and in the next Pasuk it mentions the Mitznefes. So that's as far as the Tzavah is concerned in Parshas Tzav. Now we fast forward to Parshas Tzav. And once again it says in the Kiyum, meaning in the implementation, it says Vayakrev Moshe es Aaron, and then it says Vayitein Olav es Aktones, etc., etc., and the Mitznefes. And later on it says Vayakrev Moshe es Bnei Aaron, Vayalbishem Ketones, and Vayachvosh Lahem Migbos. So Ketones and Mitznefes, written in both Parshios, the Tzavah and the Kiyum, the Asiyah, it's crystal clear that Aaron comes first, and then Bnei Aaron. Ki Pligi, where is the machlokas here between Bnei Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan? That's going to be a machlokas about the Avnet. Right, the Avnet is the belt that was worn by the Kohen Gadol. There was an Avnet that was born by the Kohen Hedjot. So in that sense, we could classify the Avnet as one of those begadim that is common to both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjot. And we have Avnet as the Kohen Hedjot, and the Kohen Gadol, we have the additional begod. So Mandi Omar, according to one opinion, who says Aaron v'achkach bonav, that the Avnet was placed upon Aaron first, and then upon the bonav. The reason for that is the chsiv. In the Parsha, in Tzav, Vayikra Ches, of Halboshas Arav Bigdei Kun, it says, Vayachgoro Sobavnet. And Moshe Rabbeinu put the Avnet onto Aaron, Vahadar Ksiv, and then later on, about five psukim later, it says, Vayachgoro Osam Avnet, referring to Bnei Aaron. So Vayikra Perk Ches clearly indicates that Avnet applied the same sequence of Aaron first and Bonav second. Mandi Omar Aaron Bonav Bavas Achas. Why should we say, what would compel us to that conclusion, that the Avnet was put on Aaron and Bonav simultaneously? Dechsiv, because we go back to Parshas Titzaven, Shmos Chavtes, it says, V'chagarta Osam. This is the tzivui, the tzavah. Osam, in plural. Avnet. Aaron ubonav. So the Avnet is singled out. And v'chagarta osam, Moshe Rabbeinu has to put on the Avnet on both Aaron ubonav together. So that, according to one mind, the Omer, we put all the emphasis in Parshas Tzav on the Maisa. And the Maisa seems to indicate that first, Moshe Rabbeinu put the Avnet on Aaron, and only afterwards on Bono. The other Mandi Omer is putting the emphasis on the Parsha of the Tzivu, the Tzavah, back in Parshas Tzav, and there, the Torah indicates that Moshe Rabbeinu put the Avnet on both Aaron and Bono simultaneously. Again, we don't know exactly how he pulled that off, but that's what it says. So the Gemara immediately asks, Suleiman the Omer, Aaron and Bono Vasachas, Haksiv, what is he going to do with the parasha of the Maisa Miluim, where it says Vayachgar Oso Avnet, for Haksiv Vayachgar Oso Avnet? So it seems clear that first Moshe Rabbeinu was Choger Aaron and then Bonav, but not simultaneously. So the Gemara says here on Daf Vav Amin Aleph, Amar Lecha, he'll respond that Hahu, those psukim that seem to indicate in the Asiyas HaMiluim that that Aaron first, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Choger Aaron by himself first, and then Bonav by themselves. That's not coming to teach us sequence, which came first and which came second, because Lamaisa, we saw from Parshas Tetzaveh that Moshe was commanded to be Choger both of them simultaneously. So why they mention one after the other in sequence, Aaron first and Bonav second in Parshas Tzav? It's to teach us Avneto shel Kohen Gadol lo zehu Avneto shel Kohen Edyon. By separating these two psukim, it's teaching you that this is not the same Avnet. The Avnet, the belt that was worn by the Kohen Gadol, is not identical with the belt that was worn by the Kohen Edyon. And there's a fundamental difference between the two. The Kohen Gadol wore an Avnet that was made of two substances, two materials, that the combination of which is called Shatnez, and that's Tzemer u'Pishtin. And that's the way the Kohen Gadol would wear the Avnet. The Avnet of the Kohen Hedjot was made of Pishtin and not Tzemer u'Pishtin. There was no Kilayim in the Avnet of the Bnei Aaron of the Kohen Hedjot. It was only Avnet Shel Kohen Gadol that has Kilayim in it. Now, how do we know that there's both Tzemer u'Pishtin in the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol? So that's based, again, on a pasuk in Shmos Perek Lamed Tes. It says, V'yes havneit sheish mashzar, t'cheles argaman tolash shani ma'isa rokem. Now, t'cheles argaman and tolash shani are all made of wool. Different kinds of dyes of wool. But sheish, which is mentioned in the pasuk, is made of pishtin. It's a linen substance. So you see that linen and wool were woven together to form the avneit. And now we're saying that that's only the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol. With regard to the Avnet of the Kohen Hedjot, the Torah never specifies what it was made out of. What were the materials that were used to weave this belt that was worn by the Kohen Hedjot? And here we have Machlokas Tanoim and Machlokas Amoroi, whether or not the Avnet of the Kohen Hedjot was like the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol, was made of Pishtin and Semer together. With a shatnez kind of combination. So if you hold that Aaron Ubonov both were given to by Moshe Rabbeinu to wear the avnet simultaneously, why did the Torah then separate them in sequence? To tell you that it's a different avnet. That the avnet of the Kohen Gadol had shatnez in it, Semer u'Pishtin, not the avnet of the Kohen Hedjot. Now the Gemara is going to ask the flip question, the flip side. Ulaman di Omar, Aaron v'yachat Bonov. Vaksiv, what's he going to do with the pasuk in the Tzavah and the Miluim? It says, V'chakarto osam avneid Aaron upano. It sounds like he was malbush both of them simultaneously. Amalecha, he's going to answer to you, ki ahu, that pasuk that indicates that he was choger, both of them, Te'akom Mashman's trying to teach us, that avneito shel kohen gadol, zeo avneito shel kohen hejot. It means that they both wore the same Avnet, and just like the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol was made of Tzemer u'Pishtin, so too the Avnet of the Kohen Hedjot was also a combination of Tzemer u'Pishtin. So when it says to the Maisa Miluim Vayachgar Oso Avnet, and then it says Vayachgar Osom Avnet, Lamalish Mamina, it's coming to teach me that Aaron the Achakach Bonov. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, Basachas Mimishkachas. So how do we understand that Mandiomu says that Moshe was Malbish, both Aaron Ubonov, the Avnet of Aaron Ubonov simultaneously? Lo tzricha di Akdim. It doesn't mean that he was that Moshe Rabbeinu was Choger both of them together. Certainly one was before the other, but it means Basachas that there was no Hefsek. In other words, it wasn't that he first put the Avnet on Aaron, then he waited, and he put the Avnet on Bonov. No, there was no Hefsek. Immediately after he put the Avnet on the body of Aaron, he immediately put the Avnet on Bonov. The Gemara says, what does it mean in the Mishnah that there were 7 days of Prisha of the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur Mafrishim Kohen Gadol mi beisolo lishkas far hedrin. So the Gemara says, lama mafrishim. Why do we take the Kohen Gadol and quarantine him? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean lama mafrishim? What kind of question is that? Kidika amrinon. Ile Rab Yochanan kid islei kiresh lakish kir islei. No, Rab Yochanan derives from the Parsha Miluim that Aaron Obanov had Prisha during the Shivas Yimei Miluim, so to the Kohen Gadol needs 7 days of Prisha before Yom HaKippurim, and Reish Lakish derives from Har Sinai, that just like Moshe Rabbeinu was covered by the Anan before he went into the Machne Shechina, so to the Kohen Gadol needs Prisha. So what are you asking me? Lama Mafrisha. We derive from Psukim. Hachikomer, here's what I meant to ask you. Mi beso lama perish. Why do you have to take him away from his wife? He has to be secluded in order to focus on the avoda for 7 days in the Lishkas Farhedrin. Let his wife come in and join him in the Lishkas Farhedrin. Now, my friends, on this piece of Gemara, there's a long discussion about the status of the Lishkas Farhedrin. The reason for this discussion is because our Gemara seems to assume that a man could have intimate relations with his wife in the Lishkas Farhedrin, in this case the Kohen Gadol, and the Gemara can't figure out why when the Kohen Gadol was Poresh to the Lishkas Farhedrin, his wife couldn't come along and they could have intimate relations. So the problem here is that there's something called Shar Nikanar. And when we're going to learn more in Mirz Hashem about the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shar Nikanor is the last gate before you enter into what's called the Azara. The Azara has Kedusha to it, has a very high level of Kedusha. We don't sleep in the Azara, we don't sit in the Azara. And as it turns out, the Lishkas Farhedrin is actually interior of the Shara Nikonor. Interior meaning it's even more inside the Beis HaMikdash than the Shara Nikonor. So therefore, we should conclude that the Lishkas Farhedrin is endowed with Kedushas Azora. And if that be the case, it makes no sense that the Gemara thinks that the Kohen Gadol could live with his wife in the Lishkas Farhedrin. There's no heter l'shamish mitos in the Lishkas Farhedrin if it has Kedusha of Kedusha Zazara. So we're going to have to conclude from this Gemara that Lishkas Farhedrin does not have Kedusha Zazara. And a further proof is based on the fact that the Kohen Gadol for 7 days lived in the Lishkas Farhedrin. No doubt he slept over there. You know, you can't go 7 days without sleep. And Allah is in the Azor, you're not allowed to go to sleep in the Azor. You're not allowed to even sit in the Azor, certainly not sleep in the Azor. So it must be that Lishkas Farhedrin does not have Kedushas Azor. So the Rashba says, I don't understand. The Gemara later on Daf Yud Aleph, establishes that the Lishkas Farhedrin was Pnimis, was even more interior than Shar Nikanor. And anything beyond Shar Nikanor Lifnim was Kadosh B'Kedushas Azora. So how could it be that Lishkas Farhedrin, which on the one hand was more Pnimi than the Shar Nikanor, and yet it doesn't have Kedushas Azora? We know that anything that's more Pnimi from the Shar Nikanor has Kedushas Azora. And the Rashba therefore comes to the conclusion that there's no doubt that Lishkas Farhedrin is endowed with Kedushas Azora. Your Kohen Gadol's allowed to sit there, he's allowed to sleep there. So he says there's a halacha called Tchilas Asiyasa Haisa Sheyamon Shama Kohen Kishma Frishin Oso. It's since when they built the Lishkas Farhedrin, they had in mind that the Kohen Gadol would live there for 7 days. Therefore, it doesn't have the same din as the rest of the Azara. And if I understand this correctly, it's built al tanai, so to speak. Normally, when you build something in a certain area of the Beis Hamikdash, it automatically gets the kedusha of the Azara. And then sleeping there would certainly be forbidden, even sitting there would be forbidden. But in this case, when they built the Lishkas Farhedra, they had specifically in mind that it should not be endowed with Kedushas Azara, as far as the Iser of sleeping or sitting in that area. So the Gemara answers, you know why we can't allow his wife to accompany him to be with her husband, the Kohen Gadol, for 7 days in the Lishkas Farhedrin? Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, we have a Braisa Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Shema Timotze Ishto Safek Nida V'Yavaleha. There are many cases where a woman has what's called a Safek Nida. We're not sure if the Dam is Dam Nida or not. But look at the language of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Shema Timotze Ishto Safek Nida. Maybe during this period of 7 days, he will discover that his wife is a suffix nida, v'yavo aleha, and he's going to have a relationship with her. Now, a boel nida is tamei, like a nida, shivas yamin. So now he's putting himself into a situation of a suffix? Atu birashie askinon? Only a Rasha would have a relationship with his wife who's a Safek Nida. We're talking about a Kohen Gadol, Ribono Shalom. So you have to reformulate a little bit the words of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. It's a bit confusing. Ella, what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was saying, Sheva Yaval Ishto. He has no reason to assume that his wife is a Nida. But Vitimotze Safek Nida. Maybe she'll see Dam. She'll, let's say, wipe herself after the intimacy, and she'll find Dam. We don't know whether or not this Dam was Metameha already when he had an intimate relationship, or maybe subsequent to that relationship, she had Dam that came out. So now the Kohen Gadol can't go into the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur because he's in a Safek Tumah. We don't know whether or not that Dam was already there at the time of the Bia, or it came later. That's going to be the Suffolk that this situation could produce. So for 7 days, he's going to be separated from his wife, and it's really interesting because right before they separated him from his wife, he could have had an intimate relation with his wife, which would mean that maybe she would see Dam after she wipes herself after the beer. And then he's a Safek Tamei for 7 days. But I guess, if I'm not mistaken, what happens is that since there'll be a 7 day period after his last Be'ilah, then even in the worst case scenario, he's only Tavi for 7 days, so that right before Yom Kippur, he'll be Metayer himself, and he'll go into the Mikvah, and therefore, we have no problem with his doing the Avod. Now, we don't have time to do the next part of the Sugya. I'm just going to give a little bit of an introduction. The Gemara says in Masechta Nida that we have something called Nashim Ha'oskos Pitaros. So a woman, for example, when she works in the kitchen, she's kneading dough. And the dough is Bechezkas Tahara. And therefore, we want to be absolutely convinced that she is Tahora. And therefore, the Mishnah in Masechta Nida establishes what's called Mishameshes Bishnei Eden, which means the following, that after a husband and wife would have an intimate relationship. They would each have an aid, ayin dalid, which means a cloth, and they would check themselves immediately following the intimacy, he with his aid and she with hers, to see if there's any dam. And if they find dam, let's say, for example, on his cloth, on his bedika, as we call it, then they're both tamei tumas vadai. Because we don't assume that a man would have dam. So that dam certainly came from her body during the time of bia, because he did this bedika right after the bia. And both he and she, therefore, are tmei and bevadai. However, if they find dam on her cloth, her bedika, then it really depends on how close to the maisa bia did she do this bedika, wiping herself off. If she did it osyom, osyom is a way of saying immediately, that's a Greek word, then they're both tmei and vada. Because it takes a little time till the dam goes out from the makar until she would find it outside. And that would be enough time to coincide with the bia. But if, on the other hand, she waited a little bit and delayed the bedika, then the baal, who had a relationship with her, is in what's called a suffix. He doesn't know whether the dam came out b'shas bia or maybe only after bia. So with regard to this status of the Baal as being Tomei B'Safek, if she finds Dam on her aid after the Bedika, which was delayed a little bit, I don't know how long it's delayed, but maybe even 5 seconds or a minute, is on this issue of Safek Tuma of the Baal, we have a major machlokas here between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. Let me just read to you one note before we end shir. He writes, "Bigmar nida daf yed alfa beis mevur shabedikos hamuros b'mishneh zu hein rakshel noshim oskos b'taros b'das Rashi v'Rashba v'Rayvid v'Od shekol abedikos hamuros b'mishneh sham einon el b'isha asuka b'taros avodas Rambam." Sha'af isha sheina suka v'taras tzricha livdok atzma liachar tashmish. Now we have a kasha of Tosis in Masech Nida Daf Tesvav. Kevin shemavur b'mishnah sham sheyesh zman shebo im timtza isha dam yeha baal tomi b'vadai, which we said was osyo, is my du'am rabbi yudu ben b'seira liel b'brais sheyesh la'afrish is koin godo mishto. Shematimtza Safek Nida Vlo Omer Shesh Lafrisho Shematimtza Nida Vadai Shetivdok Es Atzum Yad Liachar Abdika Liachar Abia Viyu Shneim Tmeim Vada. So Tosus answers, excuse me, Ein Zem Matsui Shetimtza Dam Yad Achar Abia. It's not something commonplace that you'll find Dam immediately after Bia. Mishum Kach, because of such a chashash, loyu mafrishin also mi ishto, because that's an unusual chashash, very low statistical probability. Rak mishum sheish lochu shemet timtze dam achrechen, that there'll be a little bit of a delay between the bia and her bedika, via suffik tuma, that's already more common. Hutsuchu lafrisho. And if you take a look at Tosi Shonim, he says, "Be'emes af mishum chashash etimtze isha vaday nida yesh lafrisho, el sha'om Rabbi Yehuda mebeseir sheyesh chashash gadol yoser, sha'afim timtze rak liachar zman, even if she delays a little before she makes a bedika, and she finds dam then later yiyah koin rak sofik tome, even that is enough to get us a little bit nervous about intimacy during that time period." Because he won't be able to serve as the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur. So let me take this opportunity to wish you a Shana Tova. It should be a great year for all of us.
and we'll get rid of all these magefos and go back to normal learning face to face. Ken Yeratzon, Amen.